Dougie P is named Coach of the Year by someone. He's Coach of the Year to us here in Jacksonville. I'll tell you more about his impact on the team and the city in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm Tony Wiggins, the host of Locked On Jaguars. Thank you for joining me for another show of Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, where it's your team every day, and we thank you for making us your first listen. Also, letting you know that wherever you get your podcast, whatever platform that is, we are free, no money involved, and to make sure that you like and subscribe to us on our YouTube page if you want to see the visual of my big ugly mug as well. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Well, where do we start when we talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, Doug Peterson? Well, the NFL Awards 101 has selected him as the coach of the year in the AFC. To us here, he's a lot more than that. To Trevor Lawrence of the Jaguars organization, he is even more than that. Doug Peterson came in here and took over an impossible situation. And I'm not just talking about one mired in wins and losses and top five or top 10 draft picks, number one overall draft picks, a fan base that have been maligned by a lot of people who don't know what the hell they're talking about when they want to bring up blackouts that don't exist and haven't existed for an awful long time, or seats being covered up, which has not happened for an awful long time, and ticket sales, which all they have to do is do their research and they would understand that Jacksonville is like right in the middle in terms of selling tickets of the entire NFL. But those narratives existed regardless of, you know, how you feel about them or how you felt about them. A team that was internally broken, if you will, because of the constant turnover, as well as the ultimate turnover, which means when they turned the team over to Urban Meyer, the disaster that followed after that, so much to the point where I asked Doug Peterson last preseason, how do you know when to push? And what I mean by push is we've seen coaches coach with a lot of tough love over the years, where they had to actually get on their guys to motivate them enough to bring the most out of them. How do you do that knowing that these guys have been through what they've been through? And Doug said it takes trust. He told me, he said, it takes trust. He said, you'll know when to do more. But right now you got to, at that time he had to handle guys, you know, with care, because guys had been talked to a certain way and had been, I want to say verbally abused and mistreated and disrespected by the former coaches. Now imagine all of that happening. And then early on, I remember when we used to come on and a lot of media people tried to tell fans what was happening, and fans were in a precarious situation because with the hiring of Urban Meyer, it was here. All people could think about was, we don't have to like him, we just have to win. Apparently a lot of people didn't like Urban Meyer at his past stops, but it did not get in the way of fans really appreciating his contribution to those winning organizations. Therefore, the fans wanted to win so bad that if you said anything about Urban the first 5 or 6 weeks of him being here, you'd have thought the fans wanted to cut you because winning was at the top of the priority list. And I understand that. But the second these things started to come out, I recall a lot of folks. Now, this, the fans aren't monolithic, so this is not on everyone, but I will tell you it's on some people, that as things started to leak out about how bad things were with Urban, there were a lot of people who were coming down on the media saying, you guys are just used to losing. You don't know what winning's like. The guy's trying to change the culture. So imagine being a player who stood up to the bully. Imagine being a player who was continuously blamed for the losing that had been done here when they were just trying to tell you, yeah, I know, but something's wrong with this. Imagine how many times it came out that guys were just bellyaching from a guy who was trying to change the culture and make them win and get all of that old stuff out of them. And it appeared that they were resistant. Those things happen. To not be believed when someone says something is going on and the guy that everybody thinks is just, I'm going to tell you when it changed. I had to interrupt myself. I'll tell you when it changed. It changed when he didn't come home on that plane from Ohio. And a lot of fans went like, that's weird. Maybe some of these things. And then when he lied about the initial interaction that he had with a certain young lady. Here's the thing, y'all. I knew about the second video. So I was actually in Washington, D.C. that weekend, and I got a text that had a video attached to it. And I was like, oh, my God. I didn't know when the video was taken. Said, yeah, that's your boy. He's up in Ohio. He says a bunch of stinks about to happen. That was on a Saturday. I then got a second text from that person. And I said, is this the same video? He said, no. And I said, that looks worse. And I said, watch what happens. Urban's going to do what Urban does. Same thing he did at Ohio State. He's going to lie until he gets caught in a bigger one. So when I initially saw Urban's statement, I told my buddy, watch what happens tomorrow. I had nothing to do with it. Okay. All of a sudden, the next day, another video surfaces. Bam. Got him. Now he lied to the public. Now he lied to the team and he lied to Shad. And now it's like, that's when I knew it was the beginning of the end to go back to the preseason, the last week of the preseason. I got a text from a buddy of mine who had coached in the league, in college, had been a scout. He texted me, and you guys have heard this before, Bobby Petrino. And I said, man, you kidding me? It ain't going to be like that. It was basically like that, okay? And to go through all of that, now to have a new coach step in, right, a year later, you can imagine all of these guys looking at Doug Peterson like, ah, you too. But they didn't. So I want to credit the players as well. I want to credit the players for accepting leadership. A lot of times people tell me about my kids, man, your kids are so great, you did such a great job. I said, no, they did a great job because they accepted what I told them. My flaws and all. I never hide, you know, who I am from my kids and the fact that I'm not perfect, but it helped. Flaws and all. And I think the transparency that Doug had and the way his former players talked and spoke about him really helped the situation. And it was a bunch of guys here in Jacksonville that were eager to improve and eager to get better. So I don't want to take anything away from them. But Doug Peterson is the man of the hour. I'm not going to do it. I was going to ask this question. Obviously, the bigger part of this is Trevor Lawrence, because that's the part that's hardest to find. But a close second to what has been the biggest key of this turnaround is Doug Peterson. And the other part of it is them together, Doug, as well as Trevor together. He's meant so much to Trevor Lawrence, so much to that team, and not only to that team, the organization, the building. It's totally different over there than it used to be. But more importantly, he's also. I don't think Doug could buy a meal or a cup of coffee in the city of Jacksonville, because folks here are very gracious of what he was able to do this year. Doug is still beloved in Philadelphia, and they got the number one seed in the playoffs and the best record in the league. But he's still beloved up there. So that tells you a whole bunch. It's not what have you done for me lately. It's just about who he is as a coach and as a person. So we are going to do a little bit of love on Doug today. In the second segment here, I'm going to talk about why I'm slow to want to demote or fire Mike Caldwell or change the scheme. Okay. Third segment, we're going to talk about learning as a base to trust the coaches. We have to trust them. We question everything. We question all the play. We're going to question some of it in hindsight. Anytime something doesn't work, we're going to question it. But learning to trust them a little bit, learning to trust Doug. If Doug makes a change, then I'd say you guys were dead right to want to change over to Mike Caldwell. But he's not making a change, at least We haven't heard that all right now. We're going to talk about some of those things and the fact that in 2 days we've heard from Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke, and they want all the free agents back. Like I said, they would. And Trent Baalke even said today that it's not about cap space, it's about cash, and cap space can be found. And I told you all that too. We've got to learn from the past sometimes. Teams that have always seemed like they don't have any cap space always seems to find said cap space. We're going to do all of that and more here in just a second on Locked On Jaguars. I have to let you know that today's show is sponsored by FanDuel, and I could not be happier. I played FanDuel for years now, and now that the NFL playoffs are here and there's four teams left, we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers can join today and get started with $150 in free bets, guaranteed, when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. It's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. Got to tell y'all the story one day about how I was 5 seconds away from winning six figures, and I lost it because of a bad inbounds pass and a layup on the other end. But that's the thing, FanDuel, man. It takes you on these whirlwind down to the last minute games, and you can win you some money. It's all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. We thank you for making us, once again, your first listen here on Locked On Jaguars. We're eternally grateful always for you joining us, because it's your team every day. Why wouldn't you join us? It's your team every day. Your, meaning yours. Part of the love fest that we're having for Doug Peterson is eventually learning to trust him. And I know that there was a lot of talk the other day about Travis Etienne and how much he was playing and Doug's play calling and why it was the way it was, without understanding that they had the ball on the 4-yard line with a chance to make the lead only 3 points with about six and a half, 7 minutes to go. The Jaguars were doing exactly what the Jaguars do. Doug Peterson didn't come in that game with an illusion of grandeur that offensively they were as astute as Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs. You're not going to go line up in mano a mano and go fire with fire. There was a game plan to use quick passes as if it was a short run as well. It was to slow down the blitzing of the slot and the linebackers, which Steve Spagnuolo was known to do. Doug Peterson, his coach, was Steve Spagnuolo. You don't think he knew that? We have to look at every single part of this game plan was based on something that was based on way more than anything any of us did. Now, I know there might be some dude on the south side of Jacksonville who broke tape all week for 18 hours a day, has the experience with that coaching staff and their tendencies, who sat up all night and came up with a game plan that they were going to execute. I'm sure there's some dude named Joe, you know, on the north side that did that, and he has the right to question every little detail. We can always, and I do it, we all do it, we all question some things just a little bit, especially situational. But it seems like to me every single thing is overanalyzed by folks that probably spent most of their week chasing the kids around or doing their own job. You're either going to trust them or you don't. I understand when it was Doug Marrone and all of those dudes in the past. And what I don't get is to want to give a guy a whole bunch of credit, but then when something happens that you don't necessarily like, think that we all automatically know the culprit, the answer, and go, this is the problem, that's the problem. I would hate to be, well, that happens already, you know, in one of my other jobs, but I would really, really hate to be the person that spent all of that time and have all of these expertise at something, and then just have the dude just come along and say, you're wrong, this is it. You know, it happens a lot on social media, and we get it. My thing is my mind is pretty clear. It doesn't bother me. And I just want to set people free here. I'm not telling you how to be a fan, but all I'm saying is making a mere suggestion. If you're going to trust somebody, just trust them and wait till they screw up and then say, hey, you messed up. But don't put yourself through all of that mental rigmarole where you're questioning every single thing and you fool yourself into thinking that you're more of an expert than the guy who's actually doing it. There's one thing to acknowledge it and say what they were trying to do and try to get an understanding of it. But it's a whole other thing to think that anything that we all say matters, because it really, really doesn't. And to this Mike Caldwell situation, I spent years here hearing people say they wanted a hybrid 3-4 defense. And now all of a sudden everybody wants to go back to a 4-3, which is actually my favorite defense. But if you hear Doug Peterson talk, if you heard him when they talked about Philly early this year, he said, yeah, that's the old 4-3. That kind of turns into a 4-2-5. Old base four-man front. He talked about it as if it was just that old thing that people used to do. So you can look up and see that all four of the teams that are left run four-man fronts out of their base. You could wonder, is it really old? Well, obviously not, because it's still working. I keep telling people, until something works repeatedly or doesn't work repeatedly over and over again, then it isn't old. But if he thinks it is, do you honestly think he's going to go back and do it? That's the question. If he thinks it's an old, the way it used to be, do you honestly think that that's what he's going to turn around and go back and do? And most of these fronts alignment, I mentioned this yesterday when I called somebody to get clarity on this before I brought it to the Locked On Jaguars Airways, because that's what I do. They said, are you talking about alignment? I said, yeah. I said, why did you say it like that? He said, dude, that's not important. This is a coach. He says, it's not as important as you think. He says, now it's only important if said alignment isn't putting guys in position to make plays. I was like, bingo, there you go. Where's Trayvon Walker best suited up? Is he best suited standing up and getting a running start, or is he best suited to play right over whoever he's going to engage so he can use his physical strengths and his ability and all of that athleticism immediately instead of giving somebody a time to think? He said, you got a valid point. So you ain't gonna change alignment just for one guy. Alignment is about the whole thing. And if you're gonna change alignment, you might want to change coaches, because, well, everybody doesn't teach the same thing based on the alignment. But alignment isn't more important than having people who know how to block and tackle. Alignment isn't more important than having smart football players. It's not more important than having guys on the same page. So the advice that I was given was, make sure before you talk against alignment, guys are actually doing everything that they're supposed to do, or the players are good enough to do what is being asked. That's where I have to trust the coaches. The coaches know their kids better than anybody. The example I gave yesterday, I don't know the answer to those questions. I don't know if guys were screwing up. I don't know if Devin Lloyd was playing things correctly. I don't know. I don't know if folks were doing what was asked of them. I have no clue. I also don't know if they were good enough to actually do it. They know. So if you go and say, well, they lost, you could easily say, well, guy shouldn't fumble. I'm not blaming it on one person, but there's always a way to talk your way around a bad result, right? Without firing everybody. So it comes down to, you got to trust Doug Peterson. Same way you trusted him with the psyche of those broken players, I'm going to trust him with the psyche to do what's right about the coaching staff. All right. Talked about learning to trust coaches. We talked about why I'm slow to demote and fire people. It's because I don't know enough to, obviously, especially after 1 year. Now we're going to talk about players. Who do we need to see improvement on, and who do we need to not see improvement on? We'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. All right, we're going to run it down here on segment 3 here. and let you know, thank you for joining us, by the way, making this your team every day. Your second listen, we're our first listen. Your second listen should be Locked On NFL. The Locked On NFL podcast is daily, different people every day. I'm on there on Wednesdays with James Rapine. And you just don't get comprehensive NFL coverage. We talk about the Jags. We talk about everything on Locked On NFL. So make sure you like and subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast, wherever you get your podcast. It's also free on all platforms. Players I want to be better. First of all, Doug Peterson spoke yesterday. Trent Baalke spoke today. They want everybody back. Everybody ain't coming back, but they want everybody back that's a free agent. They spoke specifically about Juwan Taylor. Y'all should have known last year when you asked Trent Baalke about Juwan Taylor in the offseason, he laughed. He chuckled. Like, he's a good player. What are you talking about? Didn't sound like a guy was ready to get rid of him, right? Didn't sound like that again today. Sounded like they'll do whatever it takes to make it happen. Of course, within reason. That means if Juwan Taylor goes in and asks for $25 million a year, he probably won't get it. Trent Baalke says they hope they don't have to use the tag. Hopefully they can get things worked out. And what that means is getting guys signed before they hit the open market. So probably you'll see something start to move and shake whenever they can with Juwan Taylor. Evan Engram, who they mentioned a lot, that there's mutual interest in coming back. The way you do that is Evan Engram made $10 million this year. It doesn't mean he's going to make $10 million per. People love guaranteed money. You give him guaranteed money up front, you can get him for probably a lesser amount of money per year, as long as you give him a pretty substantial, not necessarily a bonus, but a pretty substantial amount of his contract to be guaranteed. Let's just say it's a four-year $40 million deal or a four-year $36 million deal with $18 million guaranteed or something like that. Well, with a small salary the first year, and then it starts to balloon up, and the guaranteed money goes through the third year of that contract. There you go. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You make sure that Evan Engram has what he wants security-wise, and then you keep him happy here. I know it's probably better for him to come here than go somewhere else, and he probably knows that. Also probably knows that it's going to take a little bit of a sacrifice, maybe not a pay cut, but more guaranteed money. We've seen guys around the league be on the books for a lot of money in one year, and then all of a sudden they said, well, you give me a little bit more than that guaranteed, I'll extend it so it makes it easy for you. So it's just a reverse now. He's not under contract, but they're going to probably take a look at that. Arden Key is another one. We'll have to see what they decide to do with that. Depends on what his asking price is and what they're going to eventually do with Trayvon Walker, whether he's not going to move inside. Doug Peterson spoke on Trayvon yesterday and said that Trayvon spoke to him and said he wants to be more dominant, wants to be a bigger leader. I have no doubt in my mind that that's what that kid's going to do this offseason. And speaking of him, let me just say this. Folks are hung up on number one overall. I'm not. I've never been that way. Number one overall means absolutely nothing to me. You don't hear people talk about the number two overall pick or number three overall pick. I think when you take number one overall, you're looking for the guy. You hope it's a 10-year player, and you're looking for the guy that's going to give you the best 10 years for your organization. There's going to be a lot of talk about Aiden Hutchinson having 9 sacks and Trayvon only having 3.5, about pressure rates, about all of these things, without context of what was he asked to do, how many of the sacks were unblocked. Yeah, there's about 4 of them if you go back and look, where a guy, like, you could have made the sack if – there was nobody even blocking. Like, he went around people all the time. And I think even one of Trayvon's was like that. So I say drafts are judged. How many of y'all didn't think Aiden Hutchinson was going to have better stats? By the way, I figured he would have better stats than Trayvon the first year. I don't think that's what that pick was about. And I don't think there's buyer's remorse either. I think with who the Jaguars are, they're happy with that selection and they're happy with that choice. Now, if you ask me if they're happier that they chose Trayvon than Sauce Walker, I mean, of Sauce up in, not Sauce Walker, Sauce Gardner up in New York, then if they told you, yeah, we still would have taken Trayvon, I might look at him with the side eye a little bit. Like, y'all didn't know he was that good, though, did you? You didn't know that kid was going to go to New York and be that good, because could you imagine this team with him? Yeah. So, you know, you go, sure, you know, sure, we might have been able to, you know. Well, you imagine getting Trayvon and then having your pick late or early in the second round and weaseling your way around and getting Jalen Petrie. Or the other kid out in Seattle, the corner. There's a lot of stuff you can go shoulda, woulda, coulda. But when you win 10 games and basically win your division after what the Jaguars have done, at some point you got to say they did something right, right? And Trayvon was a big part of that, and I think he's going to be a good player in the future for Jacksonville. Shaq Griffin spoke about this is where his home, his heart is. I don't think Shaq Griffin's coming back to Jacksonville. I think they'd be smart to cut ties and save all of the cap space and let him finish up somewhere else. Dewan Smoot being injured, maybe sign a one-year deal. Or a 2 or 3 year deal that's very friendly to the team, understanding that you're in the situation that he's in. I never ask players to take less money, but then you always gauge the type of person someone is and who they are. And it doesn't mean that you have better character because you choose to take less money. But there are people that decide to take less money to be happy where they are because to them, $5 million ain't no different than $10 million because of how they live their life. So you always want to monitor that as well. So got a lot to look forward to the rest of the week. No crossovers because we're not playing anymore, but I look to have my man Demetrius Harvey on tomorrow to talk about all of the things that he's been hearing, that I've been hearing, and give us some insight on that. Until then, you guys take care of each other. I'm Tony Wiggins with Locked On Jaguars. Make sure you check out FanDuel also. You got to do it, man. You got to do it. All right, until next time, take care of each other, and we'll see you.